This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Thursday morning edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast, of course, from the Potty O's studio, Potty O's, as I get my accent going there a little bit, a brutal attempt, of course, but always from the Potty O's studios, and of course, brought to you by our good friends at the Innovative Companies. That's innovativecompanies.com. Residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. They've got you covered. We've got the plumbing team now up and operational for all your needs when it comes to your plumbing services. Of course, the heating and cooling operation, which is in full swing year-round, of course, with all the... Nobody wants to be cold, nobody wants to be hot. Everybody wants to be comfortable. The electric team and, of course, the construction team. My man, Randy Green, innovativecompanies.com. Well, trade deadline has come and gone. I think a lot of fans were underwhelmed. There were some moves made. They've had a lot going on, let's face it, since right before the All-Star break. There's been a transformation. It may not be, and I think Mo alluded to it in an interview, that maybe not what everybody wanted, but it's their plan and they're doing what they want to do. And I had a feeling this is the way it was going to go. I'm not claiming to be smarter than anybody or know anything more than anybody else, but, I always felt like what they were going to do was addition by subtraction, and that's exactly what's happened. And the reason being is I just felt like, I mean, contrary to popular belief, unless you want to trade what is your real asset, which is young starting pitching, which, you know, should be at a premium across the league and should attract top-end talent. What top-end talent was out there that you really wanted to trade your young starting pitching for? Who moved that you really would have given up Flaherty, some of these guys for? And quite honestly, as Cardinal fans, I think we really overvalue a lot of our prospects in the minors as far as what they would bring back. Just my opinion. We've got a lot of good young outfielders. I think if you look across baseball and look in most minor league systems, they all have a lot of good minor league outfielders. It's left side of the infield prospects that are borderline untouchable because there aren't hardly any, and that's ultimately what we need. So this thing kind of went as I expected. We'll go from there. I just didn't see the Cardinals giving up young starting pitching for a rental. Not this team. I'm sorry. And I've said it once and I'll say it again, and I'm going to get the opinion of the guy that's been on both sides of it and now is just like you and I, a fan. But the reality of it is, I've said it once, and I'll say it again on the show. The front office will tell you what they think of this team. And the message to me from this front office was, we aren't good enough to trade away long-term assets for a rental. So that's what it tells me. Sometimes you got to quit beating around the bush and quit looking for excuses and conspiracy theories and just look dead into the mouth of the shark and get the answer. The answer is, this front office knows we're not good enough. So, sorry, that's the way it goes. But you don't want to hear from me. Let's hear from the guy who did it for a living, who is around it every day, the one, the only, Benji Molina on the M4byYachty.com hotline. What's going on, pal?
What's going on, guys? I'm ready to go, man. I really are. I heard what you said, Jimbo, and it's very, very true. 100%. The office will tell you if they're going for it, and the office will tell you, you know, if what they're going to do. And then they did, you know. We had trades. Change. So our trades came, most of them, from the Memphis Mafia, Memphis Redbirds. That was our trades. So if we understand that they're going to go with the young guys and see and write it out. I mean, those guys are talented. We just don't know what they're going to do on a daily basis, of course. But they're very, very talented kids out there. Right now, we have if we put three outfielders right now, O'Neill, Ozuna, and Bader, those three outfielders can cover ground, I tell you what. And they can hustle and they can play hard. Bader can play. O'Neill's been having a good year in AAA. Let's see if he can keep it up. And Ozuna is starting to heat up again. So you have those three set up there. Then in the infield, you got Carp. You got DeJong, and then you got a second base. Munoz was doing a good job, and then the first base. I don't understand why Martinez doesn't start more often. Hopefully from now on he will, because he's our best hitter. And then you have the catching. So the pitching is really what really changed in the last week or so. That's what really changed, and we hope that these young guys can hold the low. Because they really did in AAA. So if they could do it in AAA, I'm sure they could find a way to probably do. I know it's not the same, big league hitters and stuff, but I mean, they can still find ways to get people out, I think, and we'll see what happens, man. I think we got a trade, but it was from Memphis Redbirds.
I will say this. If you're a Cardinal fan, I think you got to be kind of realistic right now. You got to look at the reality of what's going on with your team. I would say this. You, as a Cardinal fan, what you should probably be excited about is that, I mean, we have no shortage of good young pitching. We have no shortage of it. That's not going to be an issue for us. I don't think, you know, now obviously time will tell, and there's been, I mean, we could make a laundry list of players that were supposed to be great pitchers. I mean, there's a couple of them around the league that were top prospects in baseball. And, you know, Lucas Giolito, Reynaldo Lopez. I mean, we can go on and on and on about all these guys.
And they cannot get people out in the big league.
They can't get them out. And, I mean, these guys were can't-miss prospects. I mean, it's funny. Earlier in the year, Lucas Giolito shut us down, and I think he had a 5-something ERA from the White Sox. And everybody was like, I've never heard of this guy. I've never done it. I don't know how you'd never heard of him, because he was literally like the top pitching prospect in baseball for like 2 years. I mean, he was as legit as they come. Reynaldo Lopez, same thing. And these guys can't get anybody out at the big league level. Now, they have flashes. All great pitchers do that. They have a game where they look like it, but they can't put it together. You know, this isn't a game where you just go out and do it every game. I mean, that's reserved for the greats.
Well, we have one of those, Jimbo. I mean, look, Weaver, when he came up, I mean, he was lighting it up. Nobody could touch this kid. And all of a sudden, something happened, and I don't know. I mean, he became a normal guy, right, instead of a stud like he was showing he was going to be. But then later on, something happened that obviously he just became normal, right, like a normal good. I mean, he's good. I like him. But he didn't show up those flashes of the ones before, you know, when he was dealing and stuff. Everybody was so excited about him. And okay, so but now he's just normal. But he's good though. I like him.
You know,
the only thing that worries me, Jimbo, about the pitching, it's that they're all starters. They're all starters, and who the heck is going to take over in the bullpen, a starter? I mean, that's hard to do. We already seen Gumber having flashes of trouble. Ponce de Leon is not the same guy out of the bullpen, which I like a lot. But these guys, man, I mean, they need the bullpen. They need to solidify the bullpen, man. If they want to win, if they want to go ahead and have some close games. And, you know, I think the Pirates are number one in one-run games, I think. Or who was it? We face them probably the Cubs. I'm not sure. But those one-run games get you up to the top, man. It gets you to the first place, get you to the wild card, because they can win the one-run games. And that's just basically it. But these young guys are starters in the minor leagues, and you don't know how the heck they're going to be in the bullpen, man. We just hope they're good, right?
Well, then that's coming from the people that, you know, that, and what I find interesting about that is there's just such a huge faction of people that think pitching out of the bullpen or pitching in, you know, the numbers, there's no difference between pitching in the ninth inning as there is in the seventh inning. There's no difference. It's all pitching. Well, it's just not true.
Well, it's those guys don't know anything about baseball. That's all. Whoever says that doesn't understand the game, and that's just how it is.
I would look at, you know, I would look at this for what it is, and this is, and again, I have no, I you know, I want to say this, and this is what I find interesting. Number one, never forget this, okay? This is an opinion, okay? And what I find to be interesting is, and this is my problem with Bernie McLass, okay? I don't give a shit whether you like him or not. Everything that comes out of his mouth is an opinion. Quit taking it for fact, okay?
All right. Yeah, it's just his opinion.
It's his opinion. And you can think he's informed, uninformed. You can think he knows how to throw a ball from here to there or was watched enough baseball to know. I'm not saying that he doesn't. But never, ever, ever, ever confuse the fact that every one of these guys that you're reading, it's an opinion. Okay? And the problem is, and again, take, for instance, this Mark Saxon stuff again.
It doesn't make it true, Jimbo.
That's right. So take example again. He reports facts. No, what he does is he takes facts and then he adds in how these, like, did you see what he did? He said the thing with Tommy Pham. I know you saw it. We were talking about it. But this is what he did. He said that the thing with Tommy Pham about the equipment pissed him off and it caused a divide. Okay. So then he said, well, here he is talking about the equipment. Okay. Just because a guy said, hey, look, I went to the front office, I want to get, doesn't mean he was upset about it.
Yeah, and who told you, and what makes you believe he was upset with the freaking organization? He didn't even sound upset to me there. He wanted an equipment, and they didn't want to get it, or they did get it, or whatever. I mean, that's all it sounded like, but he made it look like Tommy Pham was upset, and they had their differential places, and you know, like the organization. And I mean, come on, man, you don't do that stuff. You're the media guy. I know you do it because that's what your job is. It's sad, though, Jimbo. I dealt with the media for so many years. And there's some good guys out there trying to do their job nice and good. You know, if you said something wrong and they report it, they're honest about it. But there's these guys that have no business being in the media. I'm telling you, how can you just invent something just to cost you sell some more whatever or watch people or tell people to watch more because you said that lie? Come on, man. Don't fix it up. And this is not the first time for him either.
Well, and the other thing is, to be quite honest, with the whole deal for me, and I look at it, I don't care. Tommy Pham has shown us all one thing for sure, besides the fact that he had a lot of talent. He's not here to mince words, okay? So I promise you, if what this guy led us, I mean, basically this guy led you down a path because he wanted you to read his article. If that was remotely true, you think Tommy Pham, when he was gone, would have come back and said this guy was full of shit? I promise you, if it was true, Tommy Pham would have said, yeah. You know, they obviously, this is crazy to me, the shit that goes on around here.
Yeah, because he would not say that if he was true. He would be like, heck yeah, man, they didn't do this, they didn't do that, because he's pissed off. He's that kind of man. So for him to say, you need to be fired because you're inventing things, I mean, that says it all right there. That tells you that's the truth. You should be fired because of lying and putting you know, his thing, you know, his mindset into trouble, you know? Everybody's going to see fam like, oh, wow, he just did this just because of you. That's what I don't understand, how the media does it sometimes, how they get away. They don't get suspended for these tweets. They don't get suspended for inventing stuff. If it's a lie, you don't see a 3-game suspension without pay, because they can invent whatever the heck they want. You know, the only thing is the people in the clubhouse don't respect him. They won't talk to him. They won't look at him. And that's because they need him. This kid, that guy who did it, they need him. He needs the players because he needs to talk to them. But guess what? If you keep doing these things, nobody's going to want to talk to you. And when they see you, they're going to tell you, get the heck out of here, man. I don't need to talk to you. Crazy? You're going to go after these. You're going to go listen to what I say, invent some crap, and then get me done. You think I want to talk to you? Get the heck out of here. That's what he's going to get. So it's not good for him.
Yeah, I can't. Again, I know you don't speak for anybody, and you've said a thousand times you don't speak for your brother. I don't see your brother having a long conversation with him.
My brother doesn't talk to the media, period. It's very rare he does it. He does the Cardinal media because of the fans and stuff, but he doesn't do media at all, and it's because of that. He will come and started doing interviews, and all of a sudden he'll hear it because he was excited when he was young. He was excited. Wow, I got an interview. Let me see what they said. All of a sudden it wasn't the worst he said, and he felt horrible. And you can get away with that with me and my other brother, but with him, he takes it so serious. It's like, no, that's not the truth, and that's not the truth. And I'm like, Yadi, that's the media, though. They say, no, but that's not the truth, Benji. That's not the truth. They're not supposed to do that. I'm like, well, they're actually supposed to do that. And that's when he's like, oh, okay, all right. They're supposed to do that. Well, I'm supposed to do this. And he doesn't talk to them, you know? Like, when you hear commentators on the TV, like people that goes on TV, like Brad Thompson, Jim Edmonds, Dan, and all those guys, and even Channel on the radio, these guys watch videos of the pitcher the next day that they're facing or whoever. They watch videos. So guess what? They put the volume up to hear what the heck they're saying about you. And all of a sudden, on the fight of Yadi, when Yadi was having that argument with Lobulo, Tim McCarver started saying things about Yadi. And really bad. Like, he needs to get out of here. That's not the way we do things here, and that's not the way it is. And he was going off on Yadi. But if you notice, Lobulo was the one who said those words to his face. So either way, Tim McCarver works for the Cardinals. So wouldn't you think he would be defending your guy? So the words came to Yadi, like, wow, you should hear this guy talking about you up there, and he works for us. And Yadi went and listened to him. He goes, all right, I know what to do. I don't know what happened because I never saw it, right? I never saw what happened because he sees it every day. I had to leave. So I don't know, but I tell you what, he ain't talking to that guy anymore. And he probably, I don't want to say anything, but he probably had it. You know, he probably told him straight up what he felt about it. That's the way it is, man. You have to be careful what you say. You can't turn your words back. You can't look at all those kids that had those Twitters and say the black this, black that, and you're racist and racist tweets and all that stuff. Dude, you can't turn that back. There's no way you can turn that off. Oh, yeah, they tried to delete it. No, man, you got to be careful what you say. So that's one of the causes of the media. That's why people, players, are having heart trouble with the media. It's just because of that, you know, those things.
And where I was going with it earlier, and to bring it full circle, is, you know, what my opinion on, like, what they're doing is my opinion. Again, I've said it once, I'll say it again. I mean, they're showing me what they're doing. And again, do I believe for 1 minute that their long-term plan is to have Ponce de Leon and Gomber and Dakota Hudson in the bullpen that next year, 2019? I don't believe that for 1 minute. I think this is purely an opportunity for these guys to pitch at the big league level and see if they can get guys out. Because, you know, I like Kevin Wheeler a lot. I know you do too. He's a, you know, I like him. He's, you know, he's straightforward. He's a smart baseball guy. He's very realistic. He calls it out. You know, he calls it like he sees it. He said something yesterday that I thought was really well thought out. And, you know, when it comes to it, you know, if you look at a lot of these young guys, okay, and you try to figure out who's going to do what, okay, take a look at the lineup. Okay, start with the lineup first. And I thought he said this was great. everybody, you know, we talk about all this young pitching and we need all this young pitching, right? So what should we do? We should put a defense behind him. Well, everybody now like is crying for, you know, Hecuvaria. They got DFA'd by Tampa, who was in Miami, who has been an above average shortstop. Everybody thinks he's great for some reason. I don't think he's great. I think he's a good shortstop defensively, but he can't hit at all.
Well, so, he did hit, but he just couldn't hit the past couple of years or this year, I think. He could hit. He had a good season, if I'm not mistaken, right? I mean, he hit, but then he stopped hitting, or no?
I don't know that he was, and I don't know that he was ever going to be quote unquote.
I know
hitter.
He's a good defender.
He's a good defender. I've always thought he was really good, but everybody tells me I'm crazy. Is that he's just above average or whatever? So whatever, that's fine. I don't care. Doesn't matter. I would agree. I'm not a dummy. I would agree. The Cardinals could use a decent shortstop that can field ground balls, because I'm just not convinced Paul DeJong can play shortstop. The eye test tells me he doesn't move. He doesn't work like a shortstop. He just doesn't. He doesn't have the feet to play there. Nobody's going to convince me any different.
But that's Austin, Bo.
Yeah,
that's
he should be Austin, playing third base.
We had this discussion.
Yeah.
We had this discussion before. That's us. That's what we believe.
Right.
But that's not what is in the Cardinals' head. Maybe they see it like a next Ozzie Smith. You know what I'm saying? In their heads. They're looking at him a way different than other people. Well, I have some insiders that told me he needs to be a third. He needs to be a third right now instead of 2 years later. And when those insiders, the good people that works with him, I mean, tells you that, you got to believe it. You got to believe it. You got to go to third, work your butt off over there, and make sure you're the best third baseman ever. And then let's get somebody to get a true shortstop, right? I mean, that's what they needed to do. Going back to Wheeler.
Yep.
Oh, you want to finish?
Yeah, let me finish real quick, just so I can say this. The point that he made was, you can have, like, there's nothing wrong with having these guys. The problem is in the National League, and this is a point he made that I thought people don't think about. A couple of these guys that play defense like this, they fit a little bit better in the American League, and the reason is because those guys bat ninth over there. If you bat a guy over here that can't hit at all, eighth, now you're basically have two automatic outs in the lineup, and now your number seven hitter over here is going to suffer. So now you're a set, and you add one, just add one more guy. And let's face it, we've watched it this year, have we not? Have we not seen Dexter Fowler, Colton Wong? I mean, I know he's had a nice hot streak before he got hurt, which was great to see, and I hope that's who he is. But God forbid Colton Wong comes back next year and hits 200 again. And he's playing second because he's real good defensively. And you go get Hecuvaria or you go get Iglesias, who I think Iglesias is a little bit better than people think. I've been paying real close attention to that guy this year.
He can hit.
He's
too,
hitting
man.
A little bit better than people are giving him credit for, although I'm sure the numbers people, I've looked at that too. Well, his underlying numbers aren't that great. Whatever. The bottom line is this. If you do go get a couple of guys that can't hit at all and you've got three automatic outs in your lineup, I think you've seen what that's done to us this year. I don't know that you can live like that in the National League. I thought it was a great point. It's, you know, in the American League where you have the DH, if your really good fielding shortstop is your number nine hitter and everybody else in your lineup can hit, you can live with that. It's a little harder to do over here.
Yep, very hard. And I was listening to him the other day on the way to the airport, I think, and he had a couple good points. The only thing I didn't like about him was when he was talking about the outfield, and he never mentioned Tommy Pham struggling, right? He said, oh, the outfielders needs to do their job, and Ozuna is struggling. Ozuna is struggling only because people and himself, and Ozuna himself, put the high standards on 30 and 100, 100 and 300. He did it last year, so everybody is doing that. Everybody's putting him to have 100 RBIs. Everybody's putting him to have 30 homers, and everybody's putting him to hit 300. That's why they're saying he's struggling, but they're not looking at the way he hits the ball. They don't know baseball, I guess, the way we do. They don't understand baseball the way we do. He has over 50-something percent of hitting the ball hard this year. Is it going for hits? No, of course. Everybody sees the 0-for-4. they don't see three times line drive or three times hard hit balls. You can't control that. What you're taught as a hitter is to hit the ball hard somewhere. And if it's an out, man, I mean, you hate it. But if it's a hit, obviously you get more chances to get a hit if you hit it hard. But what I didn't like about him was he was talking about Fowler. Yes, he had all the point in the world. Fowler needs to be sitting down. How long are you going to ride the wave? How long are you going to ride him up and whatever? I mean, he went off on him. But it's understandable. He's not doing much. But Ozuna, have a little bit more respect for Ozuna. Yeah, he's not doing what everybody's expecting him to do, the 300 and the 30 and the 100 RBIs. He's not getting there. But, dude, this guy has 59 RBIs for your team. He's close to 15 home runs, which I know what people are expecting, 30. And I was, too. I thought he was going to. And I thought he was going to do 300. But if those half of those 50% or so hit hard hit balls, half of them fall in, he's hitting 300. And who knows? But let me tell you, I didn't like the way he went at Ozuna at all. I didn't like it. But then he left Pham out. And I'm dying in the car like, man, I wish I have his phone number so I can just call him and say, hey, man, you are banging on Ozuna, which he has okay numbers or better than okay numbers, by the way. Better, way better than okay numbers. It's just not to where he was supposed to be from last year, yes. But he has way better numbers than everybody in our club. And I can tell you that. Carpenter, Martinez, and him, and Yadi always do it. But those three guys are having our team. They're putting them in their shoulders. And you're going to tell me you're going to bang this guy up like that and then leave Pham out? Pham couldn't hit a lick like last month or so, I think. He was hitting one something in the month or 2 months. One something. Fowler wasn't hitting much. And you're going to bang this guy, Ozuna, because he doesn't reach the 30 or the 100 or whatever. He's doing great. For me, he's not doing great. He's doing good. He's doing good. Ozuna is doing good. He's not doing great because he's not reaching those numbers, might not be reached. But who knows? He might get hot and hit 30. And then what you going to say when he hit 30? And then he could get to 80 or 90 RBIs. He's harder to hit here in St. Louis. And it's harder, the pressure he had with the Central Division. It's a lot more pitching in the Central Division than it is in the National East. There's no pitching in National East. There's no pitching over there, so not much pitching, I should say. But anyways, I mean, I was listening to him, and I was like, holy crap, dude. Seriously, lay off Ozuna, man. And where's Pham, and where's Fowler, you know? That was the only thing I didn't like. But I mean, he was right on point with the pitching and stuff, man.
Yeah, you know, and again, I think you're right about the Ozuna thing. I think people are going to they're going to look at what they think he should be doing. He set a really high bar for himself last year, which I'm sure, you know, that's a good thing. I mean, when you do so well that the bar is really high for you, that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. I would, of course.
He might come close to it, man. He might come close. He got hot one time, and he got up to 295. He got hot in the home run, you know, thing. He got hot with the RBIs. He has 60. He only needs 40 RBIs. In 2 months. I mean, it's doable. Very, very doable. So, I mean, not because he doesn't have 100 right now. This is what I don't like, Jimbo. I don't like people that don't understand the game because they will say things that don't make sense to us, the guys who play the game and understand a little better the game. But how can you say these guys, do they know that he hit 50% or 57% of the balls he hit? It's hard. What is that his fault that they're out? Well, how many times you see Fowler hit the ball hard? I mean, seriously, how many? And Pham, how much a percentage they hit the ball hard? And now those are the guys, if you're going to say something, those are the guys you need to say something about. But the guys that are hitting the ball hard all the time, I mean, like Carpenter, he wasn't hitting a lick before. Yeah, you get on him. But now Carpenter is one of our best hitters now. So last, 2 months? last 2 months he's been on a tear. So guess what? You don't say much about the guy unless it's a good thing, because he's on a tear. He's doing great. But these guys, if you're the media, also, you find ways to mess around. Like, why not talk about Norris, that he's having a good year on safe situations and all that. He's doing a great job and all that. No, they have to talk about that Norris was a really hardcore guy with Hicks. That's what they needed to talk about. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what gets these kids all pissed off at the media, man. And they won't talk to him, I'm telling you. Sometimes they talk because they're obligated. The people, the media guys and for the Cardinals is right all over them. Hey, man, you need to do this, you need to do that, because the MLB's this, the MLB's, you have to do it. And you know, they get forced to do it, but they don't want to talk to the media.
Well, here's the problem, and I'll end it on this, because I want to talk about the on-field product now in a second. I'll end it with this, and this is where I was going. The reality of it is, what would have got more clicks, what would have sold more subscriptions? A nice article about how Bud Norris and Mike Matheny and the group were making sure that a young pitcher was doing the things that he needed to do and was growing in the process? No, that would have just been another article. But when you try to take something that's going on and you want to add to it that it's a problem and it's just another example of what's wrong, everybody's clicking it, everybody that wants to read it. Oh, my God, I want to read this article. It says that there's more dysfunction. Because, again, I'm not even saying
that. But I get it.
Yeah.
I get it, but it's a risk for the guy of the media.
Right.
It's a risk.
Well,
because nobody's going to talk to you, Jimbo.
Well, and again,
and
he's walking
more,
that he's walking that line
more.
Right now, is he not? I would assume he
I
is.
Know. Yeah, but you'll sell more on that story, but what other story are you going to have? Because after that, nobody's going to want to talk to you. I bet you anything if the media doesn't talk to, I mean, the player doesn't talk to that guy. I bet you anything. You will not see an interview from Saxon on anybody, unless he's a young guy and haven't heard about him. He might jump on that. But the veteran guys, they will not talk to that guy, and you will not see an interview from anybody on that guy.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. But again, I get it. See, listen, we are a society that loves train wrecks. We are. We love a mess. We're more interested in the dysfunction than we are the reality. And that's what it's come down to, in my opinion. And again, I'm as guilty of that as anybody. I'm human. I see things and I'm like, holy cow, I got to see what this is all about. I mean, that's just, you know, now on the flip side, I like the good stories too. And I know there's other people that do as well, but with social media being what it is these days, you know, nothing attracts a crowd like a crowd. So all you got to do is, you know, listen, it's called clickbait for a reason. And I think it's embarrassing when that's what you've become, is a clickbait media person. And that's what I think some of these guys have become. You know,
you have Martinez at first base. He has having a good year, and all you hear is a bad defense. He's cussing games. But you never hear that good year he's having. You never hear that he's helping them win games by having clutch hits. You never hear that he's a good factor in the clubhouse with everybody, making everybody laugh at all times and being loose. You don't hear that. The only thing you hear is that he's too tall for first and he cannot catch the bad throws. I mean, he can't catch them. That's what you hear. The bad things. And that's what the players, I'm talking about the players. That's what the players hate. That's what the players hate. A lot of people are talking about Wong, how great he is in defense, but that's just a little bit. What are they saying? Oh, the slow. Oh, he can hit. You know, he can find a hit. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, over and over, over and over. He's not hitting what he's supposed to. Oh, man, over and over. It's really crazy. But that's how it is, though. I mean, we understand. But for that guy, man, I feel bad because nobody's going to want to talk to him, you know?
Well, and again, I will say this. You can – I don't – if you want to be in the media, that's fine. Have any opinion you want. I've had – I don't know that I consider myself a member of the media. Some people tell me I'm wrong, that my attitude is wrong. You absolutely are a member. I don't know what the hell that means, but whatever. The reality of it is I say it all the time. This is my opinion. Do not take my opinion as fact. Take my opinion and do what you want with it. Shred it to pieces. Listen to it. Maybe it makes you think. Maybe you disagree wholeheartedly, which is completely fine. That's what this is. This is a fan podcast. We're here to have opinions. I just cannot stand when, and again, I think when you're a print media person or you're somebody that is affiliated with a team to some degree, I think you have to take your position a little more seriously and understand that when you present things to people, they take them as fact. Now, they might say, well, that's not my fault. You know, that's not my fault. You know, it's funny. That's one of the things we learned from Derek Gould, you know, who follows the Cardinals. A lot of times he gives you all these things. Now, I will say that lately he's been giving us his opinion on some things and given us some stuff that he believes is factual.
Less and less players wants to talk to him, Jimbo.
I know. I'm finding that now, too, because all of a sudden, he obviously had an issue, and now it's coming out, which is fine. He could care less what we think. That's fine. I don't care. But, I completely disagreed with his assessment last night. Last night, he tweeted out something that was completely ridiculous, in my opinion. But anyway, again.
And you don't think the players don't. You don't think the players sees that?
Oh, I know they do.
I mean, they do. They do these days. They do. They exactly know who those guys are, and they're going to see it. And they're not going to talk to the guy. I'm telling you, that's why we have a young guy. I don't know if you ever met him. He's from Puerto Rico. He's an intern at KTRS. And he goes there, and I'm always trying to help him, and I'm always trying to tell him the right things because he doesn't ask questions yet. He's the guy who has to go get the manager, go get the Mosalex audio and stuff like that. And I told him, I said, hey, you want to have these guys respect. Talk the truth. And even if you say Fowler's in a slump, they need to sit him down in a bench or whatever like that, something straight up. I mean, the player would not be mad at you. Because they understand that, okay, I'm not hitting. He's saying the right thing. But if you go around the whole point and you start making things personal and stuff, you will not have it. So I'm trying to teach him those ropes. I hope he gets it, right? I mean, I don't know if he's going to be there. But the media is very, very – needs to be very careful, which they're not. And you know it. You know it. They're not careful with anybody. They just say what they want to say. You saw what this guy wanted to write about. Instead of writing the right thing, he wanted to write about the his mind. He wanted to say, no, Fam said that he was pissed off and he was angry and the team didn't do this. That's why there were friction in the relationship. And I'm like, dude, how the hell do you know there's friction in the relationship? How in the world did you come up with that? That's just straight up a guess, Jimbo. That's just straight up a guess. And you assume or guess that there were friction in the relationship, and look at how bad you look. You look like an ass now because you guess and because you assume. So, I mean, it's the media is tricky, man, but I bet you those guys ain't going to have many people to talk to unless they're young guys and they don't understand who they are.
A lot of guys don't even take the time to give it the attention that some people think it deserves. What do you... You know, I'm curious your thoughts when a guy like Tommy Pham actually doesn't let it go and throws it at him. You know, because you don't see it that often. A lot of times guys from the media will say what they say and they'll do what they do. And most of the pro guys and most of the guys involved in this kind of go, you know, whatever. You know, I don't have time to deal with this. I don't do this. But, you know, some things have happened this year where that they haven't let it slide, so to speak. I mean, the initial thing, you know, everything that Saxon's reported now, it's been so serious that the players have felt the need to address it. You know what I'm saying? Do you agree with that, or do you think the players should just ignore it?
You can go both ways. You can just ignore it, but that's your personality. Do you think Fam was going to ignore that? I don't think so. Fam is not going to ignore anything because that's his personality. So I think... I think Fam, it's just different because maybe Yadi, maybe ignore it, and he'll take care of it inside, right? Inside?
Yeah.
Like, how do you say that? Like, indoors?
In-house.
And he would not go, yeah, in-house. Like, he would never say anything about in the media, but not fam. Fam is a very active media, social media guy. So you knew that was coming. But I would take it inside. I would take it indoors and say, hey, listen, I don't like what you wrote. But fam doesn't have that anymore, so he's gone. So when he reads these things, he's out there. So the only way to go at him, I bet you he doesn't have his number. So the best way to go at it is the media. So it's up to you, though. I would take it the other way. But there's some guys out there, man. They're hardcore people, and they're really hardcore mindsets, and that's how they're going to take care of it.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. And this is my personality. This is who I am. I like it when they do it. I do. I like when
the whole world.
I like when the people actually involved in the story come back and say that's not true. You know, that's not true. And I think, you know, you hear people say, well, he took these things out of context. I used to be one of these guys that used to think that's an excuse. Like, oh, okay.
No excuse.
You know, but I've seen it. I have witnessed it. I have watched it happen. Like, I have seen guys take little bits and pieces out of a conversation that they wanted, turned it into what they wanted it to be, and then later on, after the fact, after everybody's already preformed an opinion, then all of a sudden you get the whole interview and you say, that's what he took out of that interview was those three words, or that he got that out of that?
Exactly. Exactly, Jimbo. You just hit the nail right in the middle of it, man. That's exactly what's happening here. That you get a 10-minute interview and you get three or four words, five words out of it, and they're all bad, and you mix it up your way, and it makes it look really horrible. That's exactly what happens here most of the time. That people, you do an interview, and all of a sudden they get it wrong. They get all those words wrong, and there's always one sentence at the end that you said something about to be done, and they pick that and make it a news. That's exactly what happens here.
Well, I said it, you know, and again, let me preface this. Just my opinion. Don't know, not there. You will not convince me. And I said this when it happened. Yeah. And I had some people say, well, let me tell you something. When that whole Bud Norris and Jordan Hicks thing happened and Mark Saxon was working on that story, when Jordan Hicks said to him, no comment, that guy, in his mind, he couldn't wait to paint it that way. Again, I've said it once, I'll say it again. Instead of doing some follow-up and talking to guys going, now, wait a minute, is this normal? Like, what is... It was the minute it was no comment, he took it for what he wanted it to be. Well, no comment has to mean he's not happy. No comment has to mean he's unhappy. I tell you what, how about
had a party after that?
Yeah, I said he did naked cartwheels down the street when you know, because I believe that that's what they want, and and you know what's funny about it is, and now that we find out the no comment was basically, it was no comment because nothing I say here, anything I say here, you're going to paint me in a bad corner, so I'm just going to say no comment.
Yeah.
That's basically what Jordan has said is, I didn't want to say the wrong thing, so I said no comment.
Yeah, the no comment was like telling you, dude, that's it. I'm not talking. Because if I talk, you're going to keep going. If I say something, you're going to go back to Norris. And then if Norris keeps saying something, you're going to come back to me. So the no comment was to get you the heck off my back. That's what I'm trying to say, no comment. But the other guy took it and made up more things about the no comment, and that's what I'm trying to say. The media, it's really rough, man. It's really rough. I'm telling you, you got to be careful what you're doing, because if you pissed off one of these guys, you're not going to have anybody to talk about. The only guy you're going to talk to is the manager and Mo, because nobody's going to give you an interview. I've been in the clubhouse when guys, Jimbo, guys come in to talk, and there's a group of media trying to talk to a player, a group of media. And the guy said, well, if that guy's here, I won't talk. So either he goes and I'll give you the interview, or I'm not doing an interview at all for you guys. And they all look at him like, what the hell, dude, man? And then he has to go. It's very embarrassing. Very embarrassing, but I seen it. I seen guys like that do that. They're like, no, if that guy is in this group, I'm not doing an interview. Bye-bye. And then that guy has to go in front of everybody. That guy has to go, man. And it's very embarrassing. That's why the media needs to be careful. Not the careful way of being afraid of a player. No, that's not the way. But, man, be true, you know? Be true. Tell everybody what the truth is. Don't invent something to sell papers. That's what they hate most.
Well, let's talk a little bit about where we sit today with the team. And what you're going to look at here over the next, you know, what do we got, around 50 games left, give or take. I think it might be 54 games, something like that. Let's talk about that. I want to remind everybody first, though, twobirdsonabat.com is our website. You can subscribe to the show there. It's free. Can you take a look at doing your shopping through Amazon there? That'd be fantastic and really help us. It would just be a great thing for us with Brian Kroc, Andrew Allen, our producers. You know, we try to take care of those guys with that little bit of referral money we get. So if you could check out Amazon, do your shopping there, it would help us tremendously. But subscribing to the show is through the website, twobirdsonabat.com. It's free. Follow us on our social media sites, guys. At Birds on a Bat Show is Twitter. If you're a Cardinal fan and you follow us, we're going to follow you back because we love to engage with people on social media. And we're always curious what you guys are thinking and, you know, what topics you may want to see covered. So it's a great way for us to stay connected. Right now we have the contest going on through Facebook. Go to Facebook, type in Two Birds on a Bat. Once you locate our Facebook page, like our page, click invite to your friends. We are accepting the pictures showing, and if you go down to your community section where you invite your friends, once your friends like our page, it'll keep showing up how many of your friends like our page. You take a screenshot of that and send it to us, to our Facebook account through Messenger, and you're eligible for every one of those entries. You're eligible for another entry. So say you have 20 friends that also like our page, you're going to get 20 entries. So you get one for just following our page. So everybody that follows our page is automatically entered to win the autographed Marcelo Zuna jersey that was provided to us by, of course, Benji and Yachty or Molina and all the gang over at m4byyachty.com, the great apparel company that Yachty has, that he uses all that money for his charities, all the work that he does for battered women, to help kids, you know, everything that's going on in Puerto Rico. We all know and have seen what he's doing with it, but that's what M4 is all about. A great apparel, of course, but also trying to help those people. Anybody really that needs it, and that's what Yachty does, and that's why we love him. So again, thank you so much for all of that. But that's how you do that on Facebook. If you have any questions, you can obviously message us, like, hey, I'm not sure if I'm doing the right thing. We've had people do that, say, hey, I'm a little confused. Just message us through social media, Twitter, Facebook. We'll help you get us what you need so that you're entered to win the contest. Follow us on Instagram, Two Birds on a Bat Show. You can also find us as part of lineupmedia.fm, the fastest-growing podcast company on the planet. But now home to Yo Radio, the newest internet radio station that's growing. I mean, it is rapidly growing. New stations coming on board every day. It's exactly what you think you would find with an internet radio station, only this one's going to have a twist. It's growing every day, but what you're going to find is more and more influencers are coming on board there with their own stations. They're going to be able to communicate with their listeners live. It's going to be an interesting, different style of station. Check it out, Yo Radio. Download it from the App Store. It's absolutely free. They're asking that once you download it and you check it out, to leave them a review. They'd greatly appreciate it. Again, that's Yo Radio. I want to thank all of our partners for their continued support. Adam Smokehouse, Tremendous Barbecue, located on Watson Road. My friends Mike and Frank over there take good care of us every time we're there, but they also take great care of you. We love it when people go in there and say, hey, I heard about you on Two Birds on a Bat. I had to come try this barbecue. A lot of people that are coming in from out of town get a hold of us, say, hey, I hear you guys talk about these different places over the years, Emo's or whatever. We always tell them, you got to go get barbecue. And St. Louis is quickly becoming a nice hub for barbecue, folks. I mean, it is tremendous stuff. Get over to Adam's Smokehouse. You know I'm going to tell you to try the ribs. Again, the turkey, the pork, the brisket. It's all good. The sides are fantastic. But again, that's our friends Mike and Frank over at Adam's Smokehouse. Give them an opportunity for your barbecue business today. Mark Marcuso, Arlington Greens, thanks for your continued support of the show. If you haven't gotten to Arlington lately and played, located in Granite City, again, I think it's a hidden gem here in the Metro East. Great course, affordable prices. If you want to run a tournament, nobody does it better than Mark Marcuso. He has a tremendous staff. They give you a great feel when you're there. And, of course, The couple scramble that they have there, I mean, it's a packed thing. They have a great time. It's just a good place to go play golf and be involved in, especially if you're located in that community. Again, that's Arlington Greens Golf Course, my friend Mark Marcuso. You heard us mention the other day that we are now affiliated with the Missouri Gators Baseball Club. They now have the Illinois Gators, and then they have the Gators Baseball Academy. Guys, this is a baseball organization that's not only going to help your son or daughter, if she's still playing baseball, and they're absolutely equal opportunity there if they want to come try out. The reality of it is they're taking these young people and they're helping them become good people while helping them become better baseball players. It's very important to them, the community that they're in. It's very important to them what they build. And again, they have their four pillars. It is an amazing thing. I would love to tell everybody that, you know, if you want an opportunity to find out where your son or daughter fit in this baseball world, Missouri Gators are going to help you do that. And again, whether it be an evaluation, whether it be an opportunity to just try out, regardless. I mean, that's the world we live in now with baseball for young players. There's nothing wrong with challenging yourself and seeing what's out there. They would tell you that, you know, maybe this isn't for everybody. Some people still want to just do rec league, which is completely fine. But if you're looking for something different, if you're looking for something you can grow with, the Gators Baseball Academy is the newest organization in St. Louis that is growing leaps and bounds. They are, you know, they take it extremely serious. Again, to them, it's just as important what they're building in the kid as they are on the field. And we think that's a great thing. Their commitment to Fellowship of Christian Athletes, I know, is important. Benji, I know to you, you know, the fact that they're making that something that's a pillar within their system, I know that you, you know, for you as a person and as a guy that played baseball and understands the life lessons of baseball, I know that's important to you.
Very, very important, man. If you have a kid that wants to go do that, I mean, anytime you see an organization taking up their time and putting your kid better person, putting your kid for a better training to go and be a better player at the same time, I mean, that's a no-brainer, man. I think it's I wish I could help. I wish I could do that next time we go there. Maybe we go visit or something, but or whenever they're up and running, but man, it's just unbelievable. I get chills every time I hear some organizations come out, you know, being honest and helping kids. So for me, it's a no-brainer, man.
Well, they believe in cultivating a place where great coaches and leaders can develop and flourish. They're going to create that path for players looking for all levels of play. There's the key for the Missouri Gators, folks. A lot of people say, well, you know, I'm just not sure my kid is at that level. They have a level for every kid there. And let's face it, not every kid is a stud, if that's the word you want to use. Go find an organization that's going to be the right place for your son. Check them out, MissouriGators.com. All right, Benj, let's get to it here because I'm interested in the on-field product as we move forward. Some of the things that I'm looking at here. Number one, I think if we're going to evaluate the team going forward, and let's just say that, you know, they've taken two out of three so far. We're going to play a day game here today. The show won't even be out till after it, so who knows? Maybe we have taken three of, maybe we've taken three of four. Maybe we took two of four. I'm not a give up guy. Like I'm fine. I, you know, a lot of people think that they've given up on the team. We're still within reach of a wild card, realistically, in my opinion. But there are other things I want to see. Number one, I'm not saying that I'm 100% off the Paul DeJong playing shortstop thing. He went through a little stretch. I felt like he was getting a lot better. The injury might have derailed his development a little bit because I'm telling you, before he got hurt, I thought his defense at short had really improved. And now since he's come back, I don't know if the hand thing is bothering him. But in the end, I'm not sure about his feet playing that position. I mean, listen, when you play baseball, there's a lot of kids that are the best players on their team when they're younger and they play shortstop. The reason they get moved from short to second or short to third is what they can't do at short. A lot of times if they have good hands, they got a good arm, but they don't have the feet, they move to third base. I mean, that's very consistent with baseball, okay? And again, to his credit, I think he's always been a third baseman, okay? So nobody is saying, like, he can't do – I mean, he's basically helping them and filling a need and trying to be better. Now, that being said, I have no doubts he's probably a very good third baseman. He has shown me flashes at short where I thought, you know, I think he can adequately do this. But if you immensely want to improve your defense, He's going to have to get better there. And I'm sure he's working on it. He's a worker. I mean, I know people that actually know him very well. He played at Illinois State. He's a worker. He is not the kind of guy that isn't ready to take ground balls with Oquendo anytime he wants to do it. So that's not that issue. But I want to see if we can get him back to where I felt like he was making progress, because I think that's going to be important going forward for the makeup of the team. When Colton Wong comes back, he is, in my opinion, he 100% is auditioning. He has got to come back and hit. He cannot come back and not hit. He's got to hit. Matt Carpenter, again, if it's me and if we're still – he's going to have to play third, and Jose Martinez is going to have to play first. He's going to have to. We need Jose Martinez's bat in this lineup. In this lineup, we need it. And I'm telling you, if DeJong would have come back and was killing it and all this kind of stuff, even though people's going to disagree with it, and the Cardinals wanted to go a different way, I could see. But if this is the way it's going to be, Jose Martinez is one of – I mean, you can say Matt Carpenter or whatever, but Jose Martinez is a hitter, okay? And he's a middle-of-the-order guy too, which we are lacking, okay? So I say you stick him at number three and you just go with it. That's my opinion, whatever. But the big thing for me is they've created a space in the outfield so that now we can see Tyler O'Neill and Harrison Bader play on a consistent basis. My question to you is,
they need to play every day.
With those two guys out there playing, and according to Mo, they're going to play about 50% of the time. What exactly are you like? What are you, as a former player and a guy that's been in the dugout, what are you really looking for out of those two guys over the course of the next 2 months?
Consistency, right? That's what we all look at on the hitters. That's what we all look in anybody is consistency. If you don't have consistent guys out there, we've seen what happened. I mean, we've seen flashes of Wong hitting the ball well. We've seen flashes of Fowler having good series and having good games and stuff. But that's not what you're looking for, Jimbo. You're looking for a consistent guy, especially when you get paid, right? So for these guys to come in, O'Neill and Bader has done it. Bader has no problem for me playing every day. That's I don't have any trouble watching him play every day. But O'Neill and Fowler is going to be your big decision. Who are you going to play? That's just what it's going to come down to. Are you going to have a Fowler struggling, or are you going to have an O'Neill that, you know, is on the upside and everybody wants to see, but we don't know what he's going to do. But that's a decision of the office. And the manager took it serious, and he said he was going to play Fowler no matter what, and he did it. But has it worked? That's what you need to see. That's what you need to tell yourself. Has it worked? You know, and if it doesn't work, man, it's really rough for an organization when you sign a guy for that money and he's not performing the way they're supposed to, man. It's really, really rough on the organization. So they're going to have to do something about that. The young, I don't worry so much. I think he's a third baseman, but I think he could play for short because he's going to have to play short because that's just our lineup right now. We don't have anybody else right there. So he plays short, Carp at third, Munoz at second. I won't even get him out even if Wong comes in. Maybe late defensive something, but and then Martinez at first. That would be my lineup all the way in. The bullpen, I don't know, man. They're young guys that are used to starting, but at least we got the ones that got us trouble, right? We got the ones out that gave us a lot of trouble, gave up a lot of games. Hopefully these guys can hold on to those leads. Hopefully they have their, you know, they obviously have better staff than the other guys that went out. So hopefully they can hold leads. So that would be my team though, Jimbo.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. And when it comes to the young pitchers, again, I think the bottom line is they're going to get put in some, you know, if you're going to pitch out of the bullpen, you're going to get put in some stressful situations. I think they all have an opportunity to show that they can definitely pitch at this level in stressful situations. You know, again, I have a hard time believing that those guys are long-term bullpen guys. I don't have a problem believing Jordan Hicks is a long-term bullpen guy. I mean, even though he was a starter, you know, That one's an interesting one for me. Trevor Rosenthal was the same way.
He could be your closer for many years if he gets it all around, right? If he gets it all together.
Yeah, I always wonder about that. I think some of that's a mindset, and again, that's what I believe. You look at a lot of guys, they all want to start. But some guys truly are like, I want the ninth inning. I want that. I mean, I know sometimes kids will say, you'll hear reports that it's not good for their monetary earnings, and that's a big thing. So,
ding 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 ding. Their agent is probably saying, "Nope, you got to throw 200 innings, buddy. You got to throw 200 innings." I heard it so many times, Jimbo, that an agent told the guy, "If you throw 200 innings for 3 years in a row, you will get paid." They weren't talking about ERA. They weren't talking about winning games. You could be the losing game. You could be the guy that loses 17 or 18 every year for 3 years. But you throw 200 innings, you will get paid. I heard these guys say that. And I'm like, holy crap. I would be worried about the wins and the ERA and helping out the team. That's what I would be worried, right? I mean, but these guys, what's his name? Hicks is a smart guy. He won't be worried about no freaking starting right now. He cannot start. He can start, but not with the stuff that he has, right? Like,
sure.
Like, I don't see him as a starter because he's wild. He's going to end up with four innings and a couple walks, and he's going to strike out guys too, so. I don't see that being good for him. I hope he stays in the closing role or in the bullpen, and it'll help us more.
Yeah, I always say that the interesting thing is, guys are starters and they get moved into the bullpen roles for a variety of reasons. Some guys don't have the pitch repertoire to pitch as a starter. Some guys are more effective, like Mike Myers might be an example of exactly what I'm talking about. Here's a guy that, as a starter, pitched pretty well in the minors and come up here and his stuff looked a little bit different, but he seems to have found an ability to pitch at a different level out of the bullpen, and maybe that's going to be his thing. I think
that's his thing,
yeah.
100%.
And I say this all the time, I don't think people understand this, and it's not a bad thing. I don't know that guys really want to pitch in that role, but they will do it. To have a job, they will absolutely do it. And then they kind of find, okay, this is my thing, right? Number one, it's not a healthy thing, no matter what anybody says. Pitching all the time is not healthy. There is no healthy way to do it. Because let me tell you something. If they knew exactly how to not have arm problems, they've spent millions, hundreds of millions of dollars trying to figure out why we have arm problems. Okay, and they don't have an answer. Everybody can tell you it's pitch count, it's this, it's that. It is hard on the arm for these guys that warm up all the time and throw. It's the reality of the business. That's why guys get moved into the bullpen you may not like this out there, but when they move a guy into the bullpen, especially, I'm not talking about a closer. A closer's role is really kind of defined. The innings are much more controllable. You're only going to be in so many situations where that guy's going to pitch. But these bullpen guys have to pitch all the time. When you're losing, when you're winning, it happens, like you get punched in the face, your guy goes out and throw, like Luke Weaver yesterday, guy goes out and can't get through the third inning. Okay? You get punched in the face, and now you got to adapt. It's not a healthy place to pitch. You don't see a lot of guys have long careers that pitch in the bullpen. It's just, unless there are some closers that have long careers.
Wants to do it.
But that's right. They want to be starters.
That's why no pitcher wants to be taken out from the rotation and be moved to the bullpen. I bet you anything, the agent is all in the ear saying, hey, listen, you're not a bullpen guy, man. We need you to be a starter if you're going to make money, because the middle relief don't make much and they don't pitch for so long. The closers do and the starters do. So you want to get paid right now? You better stay in your starting rotation, because if not, and then these kids, you have them starting all your life. You have them starting in the minor leagues because they're your prospect. And then they come over to the big league club and they're in the bullpen. So they're susceptible to getting hurt. Of course they are, because they haven't done the relief down there in the minor leagues. They're all starters. So when they get up here, oh, I got to throw one inning. Oh, I got to throw tomorrow one batter. Oh, one day off. Oh, I got to throw again. That's the difference. That's what those arms are getting hurt. I bet you anything. If you leave a guy alone and he's a starter and you leave him alone, I bet you anything he'll be all right. But if you keep moving him like Lyons, I always take Lyons as an example. Lyons was a perfect example for me. They keep moving him to spot start. They keep moving him to a reliever. And then all of a sudden he start one day and 2 days later he was relieving. Do you think that's safe? Look at what happens to his arm. That's not safe at all, man. It's not safe. I'm not saying they hurt him, because that's not what happened. But in a way, they did that really, really crazy. You know? And I think really, really hurts these kids, man. If he's used to a starter. You know what, Jimbo? If you have a guy in the minor leagues that you are thinking of a reliever, being a reliever, dude, just let him relieve over there. Just let him down in the minor leagues. Who cares about innings? If you're planning on having Ponce de Leon, and if you're having to have these guys, Gumber, to be in the reliever, at least give him 2 weeks of relieving down there, or 3 weeks. That way he's ready when he comes over. He knows what he has to do as a reliever. It's like you have guys hitting fourth batter, fifth batters in the minor leagues. I had this conversation with my brother, Jose. I said, Jose, you have those guys hitting fourth, fifth in the minor leagues. And then when they get to the big leagues, they're eighth and ninth batter in your lineup, and then you're asking them to bunt. But when they're in the minor leagues, the whole year they don't bunt for crap, because they're the third, fourth, and fifth hitter. They don't bunt. And then when they get to the big league club, when it really counts, you're not even having – you want to have him bunting? Of course it's not going to work out. So – if you're the organization, you got to take these kids very, very serious and say, hey, listen, we're going to want him as a reliever this year. So let's give him 2 weeks, prepare him for the relief part. And then maybe next year, if he wants to get a spot again, it's all right. But, dude, come on, man. You gotta prepare your guys for what you want him, not just like that, switch him out. Watch Gumber. I hope nothing happens to him, but starting, relieving. Really, it's not the same, and hopefully nobody gets hurt. But you have to prepare these guys, man. That's just how it is.
Yeah, you've always got the tough part of the, well, we have a need. You know, it's like it's a need. I mean, we have a need. Somebody's got to do this. Somebody's got to do that. And it's just a hard thing. And again, I say this all the time. I the hard thing is you look at it. You're making you, me, everybody. We're all taking educated guesses as to what we see. You know, I always say this, what's changed over the years? What's the deal with all the arm problems? What's going on here? Well, the one thing we know is that throwing from on a mound all the time is not good. There needs to be rest. That we know. Is getting hurt inevitable? I don't know. Are we prepared to say that? I mean, I don't know. Certain guys pitch and, you know, it seems like they're always having problems. Certain guys pitch and it seems like they just have rubber arms and they do this. I agree. You know what's funny is I know Tim McCarver takes a lot of flack in town. Guys don't like him or people think he's but whatever. He has said the most intelligent thing about this arm thing that I've ever seen in my life, and I think I've brought it up on the show before, so some people may have heard me say it, but if you've never heard me say it, this was like a year or two. This was a year ago, maybe two. He was on with Dan McLaughlin, and they were doing a show, and or no, I mean doing the game, and I can't remember who was pitching. It's really irrelevant. But the guy was at like 92 pitches, and I think Lilliquist came out, and you know, and they were talking about the strategy of the situation, and he had been pitching really well, but I think maybe he had given up a hit or something and hadn't given up a hit like in innings or something. And it was something like that, because I remember the situation like being an understandable part of the conversation. And he just said, well, you know, what do you do here, Tim? I mean, you got to start thinking about getting him out of there. He's approaching, you know, he's at pitch 92. And Tim goes, why? He's given up one hit, one walk all game long. Well, you know, but he's almost at 100 pitches. He goes, I don't believe in that. And he goes, well, what do you mean? He goes, listen, he goes, all we do now is worry about pitch count. And we got more guys hurt now than we've ever had. So pitch count's obviously not the answer, because that's all we care about is pitch count. But yet we still got guys getting hurt left and right. So it ain't pitch count. Quit worrying about the pitch count. It's about the effectiveness of the pitches and how the guy feels. If the guy is still pitching well at 90 pitches and he feels good, you don't have to take him out because he gets to 100 pitches. The logic behind the 100 pitches is that over time you realize that's about when most guys start getting tired, and then the ball's up because they don't finish their pitches.
That's the effectiveness of the pitching. Like,
that's right.
Said. That's what I was going to say. I'm 100% with him, because it's the effect of your pitches. Like, when we had a sign, and when I was with Bochy, I got dirt in my hand, and I throw it when I saw the pitches. Nobody knew this but me and him, and I would just letting him know, hey, listen, our pitchers is getting tired. The pitches are not breaking the same. We're in trouble of giving up a lot of, you know, a run or something, get somebody going in the bullpen. And he understood, and then he'll pay more closely attention, and the pitching coach will pay a closely attention to the pitcher, and they notice. They're like, wow, he's done. You know, like, he's not breaking up. The breaking balls are not doing the best. This is not doing good, da-da-da, and then they'll get him out. But that's the thing. Even if it's 60 pitches and you see the guy doesn't have it, man, unless you have to write him out because of the bullpen, you get him out, because it doesn't give you a chance to win. That's just how it is. But at least you know that his pitches weren't working good. That's why you got him out. Not because 60 or 120, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he makes a really good point. A lot more guys getting hurt right now, and other times they threw 140.
Yeah, it's an interesting
thing. But let me tell you this, Jimbo. These days, they don't pitch 3 years, 4 years in the minor leagues and then come up. That's the biggest help that a pitcher can have. 200 innings, maybe 300 innings. In the minor leagues, maybe 400 innings. That's what helps a pitcher. But if you have a young guy coming out of high school or coming out of college, college is way different than a pro ball. I'll tell you that right now. Way different than and all the college kids will tell you. Pro baseball is crazy. It's every day. So if you have a college kid that's not used to, and then you put him out there, all of a sudden he gets to 100 pitches, and you're like, oh, no, he got to 100, let's go. No, wait for him to not have his stuff and then move it up. So, but you got these young guys that never go through the minor league system 3 years, 4 years. There's only 1 year, 2 years. Oh, yeah, he needs to be up. He needs to be up. So if you are an organization, what you say? All right, if I'm a fan, I'm like, well, take it. Take it, buddy, because you did it to yourself. You brought this guy like Hicks. If Hicks wouldn't work out, he's an A-ball guy. And you're asking him to do big league stuff. And he's an A-ball guy right now. Well, actually Double-A, because that's where he would have been going to, a Double-A team. So, and you're asking him to close out game against the Cubs or against the Pittsburgh Pirates or whoever it is that's on top of us, and he's supposed to be in Double-A? Come on, man. You can't ask too much, you know? So those are the problems that we do to ourselves as an organization, is because we bring those kids too fast, way too fast. And then the ones that are ready, that are telling you, I'm ready, dude. I'm ready. I can pitch. Those, you live longer. I don't get it. I don't get it. You know what I'm saying? Like Flaherty was telling you, hey, man, I'm at the door, man. I'm ready to go. And all of a sudden, they couldn't bring him up. But the ones that are not ready, they end up in the big league somehow. And that's what's hurting the whole league, actually. It's hurting because of that. You got young guys that are throwing over 95, but they can't throw a strike. They don't know how to pitch. But, yeah, they throw hard. They light up the gun. But
but they don't know how to pitch. They don't know how to work a hitter. They don't know how to work a guy out. They don't know how to work an inning. Save yourself, get this guy out because you can't get him with the sinker. No, you're trying to get him with the power freaking 95, 96. You end up walking him. I mean, they don't know. These are young guys. They don't know how to pitch yet. They know how to throw hard, and that's why the organization is making it harder on these kids. They bring them up. Oh, you throw 100. You got to be in the big leagues. What? You want a guy that throws 100, walk two, and throws right down the middle. Or you want the guy who throws 90, 91, but he gets people out, hitting the corners, getting the ball down, up when he wants to, down. He knows how to pitch. He knows how to get an inning out. I mean, you don't see that anymore. You see the power guys coming out of the bullpen, wham, and they throw one to the backstop, and then they go right down the middle. And then they throw one, spike it, and then they throw right down the middle. Man, the game's changed, man.
Yeah, and we get excited when it works, right? Because it's exciting. I mean, when Jordan Hicks throws 103 or 100 miles an hour and he gets guys out, it's exciting. It really is. And so you think, okay, well, that's just what we do. We throw 101, guys can't hit. But it always amazes me how pro hitters turn around 103, 101. It's because these guys are the best in the world at what they do. And it is about pitching. It still is. At the end of the day, you still have to be able to pitch. And, you know, I got to tell you,
you have to get people out, Jimbo. You have to get people out. I don't care how hard you throw. That's why I don't think I will be a good manager, because I will get my 89 to 90 mile an hour guy over my 95 guy, and then they will not allow me to. I would take my 280 hitter, 15, 20 home runs and 60 or 70 RBIs over the guy that hits 190 and hits 40 home runs with 60 RBIs. Because they're not on base. They're not doing anything. They're not helping me hitting the ball on the other side. They're not helping me winning games. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
that's why they might not give me a chance of managing, because I will be that guy that fights for those guys that deserve to be here, not the guys, the launch angle, which I think is just ridiculous. The launch angle has been here for so long, and now they made it important. I mean, what is it important about launch angle? You swing the ball down, and your swing will come up. But that's not launch angle. Launch angle is dropping your shoulder, back shoulder down. I mean, it just keeps going and keeps going. I think it's ridiculous. But anyways, that's just my opinion anyways.
Well, it's going to be interesting. If anything, what we do know, and this is what I find, you know, this is going to be fun, is that for the next 2 months, we're going to see some young guys play baseball here in St. Louis. It's going to give us an opportunity to see
what
they can do.
That's what people want it.
Yep. We're going to see what happens. You know, listen, at this juncture with this team, I'm excited to see it. Let them play. You know, I would roll out a lineup. I really would. I would roll out a lineup of Martinez at first, Wong at second, DeJong at short, Carpenter at third. I would roll out Bader, O'Neill, and Ozuna with Yachty, and then all my young pitching, and I'd go get them for 2 months, and I'd see where I end up. That's what I would do. I'm sorry.
I would do Munoz at second.
Well, okay. I mean, I could do that too. I just think you have to make a decision on Wong. That's why I would play him. You got to make a decision.
But Wong has years of opportunities. Not Munoz. Munoz had a couple months to prove himself. Think about that. Munoz have only a couple months, and he become a AAA guy. And when you have a case of Wong having years of opportunities at second base, you get that? That's a big difference, buddy.
No, I hear you. Again, I'm talking from just a team standpoint. They got to make a decision. And they got to make a decision. That's all I'm saying, and I'm not sure what that decision's going to be. I mean, he's committed to a contract, and I my guess would be that if they wanted to move him, they could probably move him. We'll see. Like I said, I'm going to be real curious to see what they do there, because I don't think there's any doubt that Yaro Munoz has shown them that he can play. He's going to be a valuable. He's going to be a valuable part of the team. So
he can play, and I would hate, and I told you this before years, I would hate for them to sit down Martinez because he's not from the organization. And they did it. I bet you there's a lot of guys out there trying to get this guy to play because he's their best hitter. But the organization probably don't want him because they're not thinking of him in the future. Like a couple guys said, you know, like Nate and stuff were saying, oh, he's not in our future. Who cares about our future? If we are four games out right now, we have an opportunity to make the playoff and at least have one game of a playoff. And you're going to sit down your best freaking guy, your best freaking hitter. I know he's not a good defender. I get that. But your best hitter, you're going to sit him down because he's not your future? Get the heck out of here, buddy. I'm trying to make the playoff this year. I don't care about next year. I care about this year. What we have makes the playoff. I want to see him play. That's just bottom line, man. If he's not gonna, we're out like by 20 games out or something, yeah, it makes a difference. It's a different thing. But, dude, we're four games out of a freaking wild card, and you're going to tell me you're going to sit down your best hitter and you're going to keep playing your worst hitter? Your worst hitter hits in the lineup, but your best hitter sits in the bench. What in the world are we playing? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, for sure. I can tell you. I'm ready. I think everybody's ready. And again, this Dexter Fowler thing's got to end for me. So we're gonna see where that goes. I'm sorry, it's got to end. It's got to end. So, but I don't know that it will.
But he has to go to the bench. I mean, I think that's the spot for him right now. I don't think anybody's gonna want his contract and numbers. So he might have to just go to the bench and let the other guys play. Not because he's a bench player. It's just because you haven't done your job, right? I mean, you just haven't done it. That's just how it is, man. I mean, I don't feel bad for him. He got $80 million, and yeah, he's not performing. What do you want to do? Seriously, what do you want to do with a guy that you gave the money to and he's not performing? That's just straight up. I mean, he'll tell you he's underperforming. So, I mean, you have to make a decision as an organization. You have to make a decision.
Well, we will see what happens. But I appreciate you joining us today. We're going to get off of here. We're both probably just going to go watch the day game and see if they can take three or four from Colorado. That'd be a nice lift for them. I can tell you that. I think three or four would send them into the weekend
gotta go day by day, buddy.
That's right. Win today. Isn't that what you've always said? Just win today.
Yep. So win today and you worry about tomorrow later.
Well, we want to thank everybody for joining us. I want to remind you to find us on twobirdsonabat.com. Subscribe to the show. Do your shopping through Amazon there. We'd greatly appreciate it. Find us on Twitter at Birds on a Bat Show. Don't forget our Facebook contest. Two Birds on a Bat's our Facebook page. Like our page. Invite your friends to like it. Take a screenshot of your community. Down there to the right, it'll show how many of your friends also like the page. Send that to us in Messenger there. And you'll have that many entries into the Marcell Ozuna jersey that was donated by, of course, Benji Molina, Yadi Molina, and the whole gang at m4byyadi.com, who we want to thank for bringing Benji on the show each and every week. Two Birds on a Bat Show on Instagram as well. Find us as part of lineupmedia.fm, the fastest growing podcast company on the planet, and now home to the newest internet radio sensation, Yo Radio. Our ask is for you to go to the App Store and download Yo Radio. It's absolutely free. You're going to enjoy the music stations on there. It's exactly what you would think and more. Leave them a review as the station is growing and they appreciate that sort of thing. I mean, there's guys working on this thing every day and it'll really help them. If you just download it, it's free, and then leave them a nice review. It would really be helpful for the work these guys are putting into it. All of our social media partners, we want to thank you for your continued support. Don't forget Mick Light at Arch City Media. He does so much for us. When he shares the show, it's a natural jump in numbers for us. He's connected to so many people, and we want to thank him for his continued support. Of course, Nate McHenry with RallySquirrel.com, the Rally Squirrel Club, which we are very proud to be a part of. For that premium content and the ability to win all those wonderful prizes, just go to RallySquirrel.com and get registered today. You, too, can be a member of the Rally Squirrel Club. Cardinals Nation, Cardinals 24/7, the great Facebook pages ran by my friend and everybody's friend, Chris Lawless. We're always thinking about Chris and what he's doing, really enjoying his new venture, the Cardinals 24/7 podcast. Him and Ron do a great job. Ron also does Team of Rivals podcast, which is the neat Cardinals-Cubs podcast that's got a great twist to it. I love that one as well. Make sure you check them all out as, again, There's no shortage of great content out there if you want to be a part of it. Some of the other great Facebook pages that do a tremendous job, Cardinal Freak, tremendous, love it. Guy always shares our stuff. We appreciate him greatly. Fans of Yadier Molina, St. Louis Cardinals, STL Cardinals, St. Louis Cardinals Nation, Cardinals haters versus Cardinals fans, baseball heaven, Cardinals country is a good one. Guys, there is St. Louis Cardinals crew, love those guys and what they're trying to do. There's no shortage out there, folks. Birds on a Bat, another Facebook group. Again, if you want to be involved in the conversation, it's out there, so make sure you check it out. To our partners, thank you so much for your continued support. InnovatedCompanies.com, my man Randy and Stephanie Green, tremendous work. Residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. 35 years experience, a second-generation craftsman, and more importantly, a man of his word. That's Randy Green with InnovatedCompanies.com. Of course, Mark Marcuso at Arlington Greens. Get down there and play the course. You're going to enjoy it. Talk to Mark about running your tournament down there. Nobody does it better. The Missouri Gators baseball program, Illinois Gators, Gators Baseball Academy, they're moving in the right direction, folks. If you want to be part of this growing organization that takes building your son or daughter into a good young man, a good young woman, learning through the game, understanding the importance of what it takes while helping them develop, become the best player that they can be, MissouriGators.com. I'm telling you, that's the organization that you may want to check into as they're continuing their growth. That's MissouriGators.com. Thank you to Joe Lopez and all the gang there for their continued support. Don't forget Adam Smokehouse, my man Mike and Frank. Go tell them we said hi. I would love to encourage you to go down there and try some ribs. Let's try to get it all together and head on down to Watson Road, have some barbecue, tell them your friends here said hi. One more time, special thanks to Benji Molina and the whole gang for joining us here on TwoBirdsOnABat.com. Don't forget our gang over at LineUpMedia.fm and, of course, home to Yo Radio. For everybody here, have a great day. Let's go Birds!
Go Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.